Good morning. It is good to be in God's house. And this is the first Sunday of the new year. How many of you remember last Sunday's message? Don't stay stuck in last year. Don't stay stuck in the past. This is a brand new beginning, and it's time to live it for the Lord. That is for sure. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians 5:17. 2 Corinthians 5:17, and put your finger there, and then flip over also to Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and put your finger in that spot. I'm going to like to ask you to stand as I read from God's Word. I'm going to read these three verses, and we'll get into the message. Starting with 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come. And now Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have so great a cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who, for the joy set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just thank you for the reading of your word. And God, because of the death of Jesus on the cross, the shedding of his blood, and him raising from the dead on the third day, and now being seated at your right hand, he is our mediator, Father, when we pray. And you give us a clean slate every day. You give us new opportunities every day, Father, to live for you and to make the necessary changes in our life. And we pray that today we'll do that. That, Father, this year in 2026, we won't live like we did in 2025, but we'll live more committed. That we'll live a life that our actions will show that we are Christians, and we'll show that by our love. And God, as I preach this message, let every word come from you through your Holy Spirit. And God, we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. It's in Jesus' name we ask. Amen. You may be seated. So this message today is called A Fresh Start, Running the Race. God is the one that gives us new beginnings. I want you to listen to this very carefully. He never gives up on us. He offers us a clean slate for a fresh start. Now, we learned that in our Sunday school lesson this morning about sin and forgiveness. The power of a fresh start is the promise. Transformation in Christ. Through Jesus Christ, the old things are passed away and everything has become brand new. You are a new creature in Christ. You are no longer identified by the sinful life that was before Jesus, okay? So that's what this verse is telling us. Your new identity is in Christ. You are no longer labeled a sinner. Now I want you to listen. You will still sin. And those of you that were here at Sunday school, we talked about, well, Lord covered that as well. We will still sin, but we should not do it willingly. But your old identity, you were identified with the world. You were identified with the flesh. You were an old, corrupt creature. The moment Jesus Christ got a hold of your heart and your life, you were basically transformed. You were no longer this dirty, sinful thing. You are a new creature in Christ. You have been made whole. The blood of Jesus has washed away your sin. And what Jesus has done through this, He has brought us together and He has connected us back to God. You know, when the first Adam was created, Adam in the garden and Eve, they sinned, and the sin caused a gap. But Jesus became what's known as the second Adam, and Jesus lived a life and died for you and I because He saw there was no other way to reconcile us to God but the fact that He would become sin for us. I may have told you this story, but my good buddy Donnie Colson is a pastor, and Donnie Colson was a drunk. He was a cheater. They called him Snake. And basically, Donnie would say, if you made him mad, he'd come after you. That's the kind of guy he was. And when he walked into a church service one night, they were having revival, he said he walked in and sat down, and when the preacher gave the invitation, he said he felt this drawing. He said he felt this tug of war, this fight going on inside of him. And he said he finally got up. He was white-knuckling the pew. You heard that expression. People say, man, I white-knuckled the pew. Means they had a death grip on the seat in front of them because they didn't want to give up the past. They didn't want to give up who they were and how they've lived. But Donnie said he finally let go and he went to that altar and he knelt down. He said, I met the Jesus who died for me and rose again. And he said, when I was walking back out of the church that night and leaving, he said, I saw the old Donnie sitting there going, please take me back. Please take me back. And see, that's what the devil wants. The devil wants to keep you where you are. He does not want you to grow in Christ. He doesn't want you to take the steps forward. He doesn't want your life to change. If he can keep you stuck, if he can keep you in one place, never growing, then he has won the fight. Divine forgiveness. God removes our sins. Sins, that's plural. Laura pointed that out. I always like how this... Now, I kid you not. I'm not going to lie in this pulpit. I did not study my Sunday school lesson until this morning. I'm guilty. Now, anybody else guilty? Yeah. I didn't study my... So, I didn't know what the Sunday school lesson was about. I already had the sermon ready first. So, see, God always brings things hand in hand. But God removes our sins and He offers freedom. He offers freedom from condemnation. Okay? You're a new creature in Christ. Are you still condemned? No. Jesus sets you free. Where do people stay condemned, though? Right up here in their head. People will relive, and I think Laura mentioned it this morning, is God forgives us of our sin, and He forgets all about it, but who remembers it? We do. And who's there to give you a reminder when you have forgotten it? The devil. The devil will come at you in every way, shape, and form to bring up your past. And you've heard this said, when the devil reminds you of your past, you remind him of his future. And that is so true. You are not controlled by the enemy. If you are a new creature in Christ, you are God's child, and you are under His divine power and authority. Now, if you are still living under what the devil has held you under, then I want to offer you this. Get before the Lord God if you feel like you haven't been saved, and give your heart and life to Him today, because He doesn't care about your past. He's concerned about you right now. The Lord wants you to give your heart and life to Him so that He can make all things new. So when He comes in, the divine forgiveness, God removes your sins from your life and He casts them as far as the east is to the west, and He remembers them no more. We walk in that freedom. So quit living under guilt and condemnation. We also have freedom and grace, which is the fresh start. It means walking in God's grace. Don't walk in your own grace. You and I don't have a grace to walk in, but we have God's grace, which I will never be able to wrap my mind around. It's not a self-effort, but it's living with divine freedom. I can live freely and I can be joyful because my sins are forgiven. Now, there's been many times in my life that Janine has said, "What's the matter?" And well, here I go. I'm back here trudging in the field that I've already walked through. I'm going back through trying to reconcile, trying to figure out why I did what I did. And she said, "Hasn't the Lord forgiven you already?" Yes. And she says, "Quit. Quit doing it." I know it's driving her crazy. But how many times do we do that? We have freedom. We have freedom to live for the Lord. We are not condemned by... We are condemned by the devil, but we are not condemned by God. If God is love, and God has given us His love in the form of His Son Jesus dying, then don't you think He means business when He wants to forgive you of your past and He wants to give you a brand new life? He gives us a fresh, clean slate, a brand new start. So if you woke up and you sinned, and you know you did, and you get on your knees and you pray to God and ask Him for forgiveness, He forgives you, He makes the slate clean. But here's what He is expecting out of you and I every single moment of every single day. He is expecting every single one of us to get up, stand up firm and tall, and to start walking in the promises of His Word, to start living like we have been changed. I've heard so many people tell me, "Oh, Brother Jim, well, I've got saved." And you know what? And after a little while, their life doesn't even show it. They continue to live in darkness. And it makes me wonder, was the commitment real? And I want to ask each and every one of you this morning, not in a judgmental way. I'll never judge anybody. I want to ask the question, when you committed your heart and life to the Lord, did you mean it? Did it really come? Did it come from here? Did it happen because you saw somebody else do it and you were moved by a feeling or emotion? That happened to me in the fourth grade. My sister, I loved my sister dearly, and I still love my sister. But my sister went forward and I was moved just by the emotion. She was doing it. Well, big sister did it. I'm going to do it too. And I remember going forward and I took my little red King James Version Bible in my hand and I walked down to the preacher and I said, "Preacher, I want to be saved too." I had no idea what I was doing. I was following what my sister was doing. Basically, what I want to say to you, don't live your life doing by what others are doing. Don't go by other people's example. You go by God's example. You go by what God is speaking to your heart and life, how He wants you to live. But a fresh start, that means every single day, every moment, we should not be feeling the guilty feelings. We shouldn't be beating ourselves up. Now, the steps to a fresh start, the process. We have to... This was in Sunday school too. This is so neat. I love this, how this happens. Confess and forsake. You have to listen to this. Be honest. Be honest. Admit. Does anybody feel like crawling under a chair right about now? Sometimes I really would. Be honest, admit, and turn away from sin and old patterns of life. Basically, you're not fooling God. You're not. God knows your heart. God knows what's going on inside of you right now. He knows everything that you're thinking before you even think it. God knows everything about your life. That's how great and mighty He is. And we're not fooling Him in any way. We can fool other people. I mean, your life could be a train wreck, and you could come to church, and you could smile the biggest smile and say, "Praise the Lord." And you might fool other people, but you'll never fool God. I remember hearing Joyce Meyer give a testimony. Joyce Meyer said, you know, she came out of a childhood of being sexually abused badly. And she was an angry, bitter person. Well, her and her husband, Dave, had been married, and they had two kids. And she said they was driving to church one morning, and she said the kids were in the back seat fighting. She said me and Dave were at each other's throats, and she said every now and then I'd turn around and smack the kids in the back seat because she said I was tired of listening to them. And Joyce Meyer said, as soon as we got on the block and pulled up in the church parking lot, she said, all of a sudden we became very spiritual. And she said, as we pulled up into the parking lot, she said, we transformed. She said, we got out of the car and people would come up and say, well, good morning, Dave and Joyce. How are you? Oh, we're doing great. Isn't God good? And she said, here we was about ready to kill each other on the way to church, and then all of a sudden we became holy. Isn't it funny how we try to deceive ourselves, how we try to deceive a situation? But God knows our very heart. He wants you to turn away from sin. That's why the Bible says that we have to turn. We've got to take our lives, we have to pattern our lives after the Spirit and not the flesh. See, the things of the flesh are of the world. And we know that in the world, there's sin and there's darkness. You and I are not identified by the world. We're not identified in that darkness. We do not walk in the flesh. As Christian people, we are to walk by the Spirit. And I want you to Google today. Do this for me. This is not a homework assignment. And there's not going to be a test next Sunday on it. But Google the fruits of the Spirit. And I want you to read what the fruits of the Spirit are. Or go look it up in the Bible, what the fruits of the Spirit are. And I want you to read them. And then I want you to start telling yourself, that's how I identify myself. This is how Jim Cooper needs to identify himself. This is how Jim Cooper needs to live his life. This is how Jim Cooper needs to be in the world. Fruits of the Spirit. I need to sow seeds of goodness. I need to sow seeds of the Spirit so that there's a bountiful harvest in my life. But I've got to confess my sins and I've got to be honest. I've got to turn away from that life because that's not who I am. That's not who I am any longer. I tell you what I came out of, I don't want to go back to it. Whew, wow. How many of you have ever been in a bad situation and got delivered out of it and you thought, whew, I don't ever want to be there again? I'm going to be honest. I'm going to tell a, let's be honest, pilgrim type story here. As Wendy Bagwell would say, what I'm telling you is a fact with my hand up. I got pulled over by a policeman one night. Now, I wasn't a Christian yet. But I went peeling across the parking lot, going kind of fast. And I hit that stop sign and I did a Southern Illinois roll and go. I found that to be true in Southern Illinois. I see a lot of rolling and going at stop signs. But I did a roll and go and got out there on the street. And right before I knew it, I looked behind me and I see these little, what the truckers would call little bubblegum machine lit up behind me. And it was at night. I was trying to impress my friends. And I got down the road a little ways and I finally turned off onto a side street. And when the officer pulled up, it was a Marion City cop that I knew very well, a good Christian man. And he said, well, look what I've caught. And I sat there and lied. He said, what is the matter with you? He said, man, your car, you went, and I made up, I'm not going to repeat the lie. I'm not. But I lied to him. and I got my way out of it. And he said, sounds like you better get that car fixed. He said, sounds like you better take that car home. I think he knew, but I think he was giving me a little bit of grace that night too. So what I'm saying, as I was driving home, my heart still pounded, and I thought, thank you, Lord, for that. I don't want to go back through that again. That's why, now I do drive five, I'm going to confess, I drive sometimes 5 miles an hour over the speed limit. I confess that. Sometimes a little faster to pass. I'm confessing that too. I ain't going to lie. But I'm going to be serious and honest. But you know, that night, I found out I got myself in a situation. I got out, but I don't want to go back. So by that, I'm saying your old life, don't go back to it again. Refocus your mind. Oh, let go of the past. Now, I done preached that last Sunday. Lay aside your sin and lay aside anything that hinders you or holds you back. If there's something holding you back, get rid of it. The devil will hold anything against you to keep you from growing in Christ. And there's all kinds of things I could name, but don't have the time to name everything. Now, refocusing your mind, that means to change your thinking. Set your eyes on Jesus. Now, I've had a lot of people tell me, now, Brother Jim, I can't do that. I'm the most negative person, and there's no way I could get my... Yeah, you can. To sit around as a child of God and say, I can't, that's two words that don't even add up in the Christian life. I can't. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. But you have to be the one that's motivated to make the change. God is wanting to change you, and there's a changed situation waiting, but here you are in the middle. You're the one who's being the resistor by saying, I can't. You can. But you have got to say, enough is enough. I want to... Okay, now, when I started preaching, I was a smoker, all righty? And when I started preaching, I was still puffing them cigarettes. And I remember I went to a church one Sunday morning up by Franklin County. Well, it was on the Franklin-Williamson County line. And I went to church, and I remember I wouldn't smoke before I got there because they didn't want people to smell it on me. So, see, I was already feeling guilty. I wanted to change, but I kept telling myself I can't do it. I can't give them up. And finally, that morning after church got out and I'd got done preaching, I got out in the car and now listen to this. Talk about hiding your sin and what you don't want people to find out. I took a backcountry road that I know that nobody hardly drives, that nobody'd see me on. And I had one cigarette out lit ready to go and down the road. And finally, came to a realization, I've had enough of this. I've had enough of trying to hide from people. I ain't hiding my sin from God and the things I'm doing. So finally, I instituted a change. And I said, Lord, on my own I can't do this, but by your power and authority, I can do it. And went home and crushed up every pack of cigarettes and threw them away and didn't ever want to pick them up again because I finally said, I want to do this. And in my Christian life, there's been a lot of things that have held me back from growing in God, and my wife knows, and I've told my wife, boy, I wish I could change this, but I can't. And she'd say, what? What was that you just said? We was walking one night. I was wanting to start running again. I hadn't run since high school or after high school. And I'd was losing weight. And I told her I want to run. And this guy was running. And I think to our one lap, he probably ran five. And Janine says, well, go do it. I said, I can't. She goes, what did you say? I said, I can't. She goes, what did you say? I said, oh, I can. And my wife said, that's right, you can. And she quoted to me the scripture from Philippians, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. And so I sat there in my mind and settled it. Okay, I can run. Now here's what I had to do. I want to try to apply this principle from life to what I'm saying here. It took time. It took steps. It took determination. There was tears. There was frustration. But you know what? There was a will. There was a fight. There was a guy saying, I want things to be different. And one day, I left from our home and went to go on my usual be a run walk. And I took off running. And I ran one whole mile without stopping. Pretty fast, too. And when I got down to that 1 mile, I was down the end of that street. I was at the edge of Heron Cope Road going, woo, yeah. You know, I don't know what people was thinking of me. But see, I met a goal. And then from there, I thought I can do more. And then I was running half marathons one day. 13.1 miles running. And I thought, wow. So I'm saying that to tell you this. In the Christian life, you've got to say, Father, I know it's going to be one step at a time. It's going to be a process, but I'm determined, you're able, and I can. And I'm going to see this change made in my life. I'm going to see this through. And never give up, because God has never given up on you. Run the race. Step out in faith. Trust God to empower you to live the new life that He offers. You've got to trust Him. You've got to have faith. And I've said this many, many times over the last 3.5 years of being here. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, the result of a fresh start, the purpose. You have a life of freedom. You will experience joy and purpose by living for today. For today. You're going to experience joy and purpose by living for today. Now, how many of you want to live in that kind of joy? How many of you want to experience a life? Now, you're going to go through things in life. You're going to have trials. You're going to have tribulations. And I'll tell you this. We have a perfect example here this morning. Milton fell at his car. What was that, November? October? Okay. Yeah. So Milton fell in October, and I was there that morning in the emergency room, and I had heard the reports. I'd seen things come in on the prayer chain or information given, or family might say something, this don't look good. I wasn't accepting that. I wasn't accepting it. I said, Lord, I know that you can do anything. And even over the last few weeks, reports on Corrine's health and having a stroke, and then God healed her. And she's sitting here, Milton's sitting over there. Last week we heard that Milton hadn't been getting around still very well walking. He's sitting over there today. Came in on a walker. And the joy. This is what it's all about. You've got to decide that I'm going to live now. For today, for Jesus. And I'm going to be happy. I don't care what happened in my past. I don't care who ticks me off. I'm not going to be ticked off. I'm going to look at those people in the face and I'm going to smile and tell them Jesus loves you. And it may be a witness before them. What a difference you'll make in their life. The people who used to irritate me so bad, and yeah, there's some that still do, I'm learning to grin and bear it, but I'm learning to say, Father, change me one step at a time, one day at a time, because I know I'll get there if I don't quit. That's my purpose. I want to experience the joy given to me by Him. And we have a new identity. We've become a new creation. God made you to be a light before other people. Man, God made you to be a light. Don't walk around with your lip dragging the ground, I'm a Christian. I go to Bosque Hill Baptist Church. Oh, yeah, I live for the Lord. There's people out there living like that. There's people, if you go up to them and you ask them what's going on, they'll tell you every negative thing going on in their life. What you ought to be doing, saying, well, I may have difficulties in life, but God's got them. God's got them, and I'm living victorious because I am a new creature in Christ. I am no longer plagued by sin. Now, don't be walking in sin willfully. We talked about that in Sunday school too. That was brought up. Don't walk in darkness because you want to. Be apart from the darkness and walk in the light. Be a light to others. And then endurance, running the race with endurance towards God's future for you. Now, when I go out and train, I'm 57 years old, turned 57 last Thursday. You know what 57s are? Classic. 57 Chevys and classic. So I guess I'm a classic. Maybe a classic nut, I don't know. But anyway, when I go out there and run still, I don't run as much as I used to. I used to go run 17, 20 miles a week. And now it's been, I think my wife tell you, 3-6 miles a week. I've really dropped. But when I would go out and run, I had to eat right, and I had to take the right vitamins, and I had to weight train so that I would run with endurance on those races. And if I'm going to live the Christian life and run this race, well, I've got to feed on the Word of God, and I've got to pray, which that's, I'm receiving my strength and my vitamins. I'm receiving my spiritual vitamins, and I'm getting the strength I need. And then in weight training, well, you know what happens in weight training when you're lifting weights? There's sweat, there's tears, sometimes there's blood, there's pain. And sometimes you're thinking, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't know how many times I've been on a weight machine going, I don't want to do this anymore. I just want to go get a Twinkie and a glass of milk and be done with it. That's what I thought. But in life, we're going to sweat and we're going to be in pain, but we're going to have to say, I'm sticking to it. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to go back to the old ways of life. I'm going to see this on through. When we start running the race with endurance, we can do anything, but we have to realize that God is the one that gives us the power and the strength to make it each and every day. So, as we start this new year, make Jesus the number one focus of your new beginning. I want to say this from my heart. I am so glad I'm the pastor of this church. Did I think that God would ever put me as a pastor again? No. My own thoughts, I thought, well, I'll just be a pulpit supply again. That's kind of what I'd settled at in my mind. But when I started praying, Lord, do things with me. Put me in places where you want me to be. And I've been, well, this Easter actually will be four years. Is that right? Yeah. Golly. Officially, you know what? I'll just say I'll stretch the title pastor way back because I was already here every Sunday and already taking care of a lot of. So I'll just say I've been pastoring the whole time. But we just made it official church business back in September. So I'm just glad to be your pastor because I love each and every one of you. And we've seen God do a lot of miracles in this church already. And we're going to continue to see more miracles. And I'm declaring in 2026 that we are going to see the educational building over here, not full of yard sale stuff, but we're going to see the Sunday school rooms filled. You're going to hear voices and children's laughter. I believe that. And it all started because one lady came to me after church one Sunday and said, Brother Jim, I want to see Sunday school started back up again. And Laura has dedicated her heart and her life to the Lord to teach every Sunday. She has been here faithfully. And I want to ask everybody else, if you would, to be here faithfully and be in Sunday school as well. And if God is really laying on your heart to teach kids or youth or young adults, step forward and say, I want to do it. But I believe by God's power, this church is going to grow. We're going to have to overcome the past. Boscadale can't live in the past. We can't live with what happened with the past preachers or past members or past events. Here we are today. Let's move forward now. I put that charge to you. Let's move forward and let's let God do His perfect work.